You have your Bibles, I do want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, well, you Pentecostal get excited on Pentecost Sunday. Everybody ought to get excited on Pentecost Sunday. Something important happened on the day of Pentecost. It's during a feast. It's 7 weeks after the Passover, plus one. That's 50 days. And I know we're Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed of it. If I was, I'd change my name, go somewhere else. When I go to a church that says we're Pentecostal, I expect them to act like Pentecost. I expect them to raise hands and clap. I expect them to say praise the Lord. I expect them to shout a little bit every once in a while. If they don't, I think something's wrong. I might say, well, you're Pentecostal. Sure am. But I'm not excited about the day of Pentecost simply because I'm Pentecostal. See, every denomination in America ought to be excited about today because something happened on Pentecost most of you ain't even thought about. The first time it was ever talked about, Matthew chapter 16. The next time it's talked about is the day it was born, when Peter stepped out on a balcony and he made this statement. And he shall come to pass, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaids I will pour out in those days of the spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. Praise God. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Jerusalem right now on this particular day is witnessing a spiritual storm of epic proportions. They have not seen a move of God in their town in so long like this. It is blowing their mind. The focal point from which it stemmed is a small upstairs room in the temple. And if you want to argue with me, meet me after church. I don't care what you've always believed. Can you look up Luke chapter 24, verse 50 for me? Amen. Now, I've been to the upper room in Jerusalem, but they showed me it's nowhere near the temple. That was probably where they had the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. That's fine. But that is not where these people were. If it is, then what we're fixing to read when she pops it up on the screen, and I'm sorry for doing that, but I just thought about it. Luke 24, verse 50. It's the last three verses of Luke. Do anybody know who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. You know what he said in the first verse of Acts? These are a continuance of the former treatise. This is the continuing of the former writing. In other words, nothing's changed. It's all the same. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, if they were continuing in the temple, they weren't in a house somewhere away from the temple. Hello? Not only that, if they had been away from the temple, wouldn't have been that many people around because everybody's at the temple because this is a time of feast. They're in an upper room, an upper chamber of the temple. They're in there praying and seeking the face of God. And there come a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And suddenly that spiritual storm blows out of that upper room in that temple. And Peter comes walking out on a balcony. This is the same guy that denied him because he didn't want to be called one of them. The same guy that failed him when the pressure got tight. But this same guy under the anointing of the Holy Ghost steps out on a balcony, calls everybody's attention, and said, hey, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what y'all been looking for. It's here. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? Yes. Amen. Listen, the 48th verse of the book of Luke. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. Amen. When the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, the revival broke out. The people came by the thousands to see the unusual happenings, and the newly appointed church. Some of y'all didn't wait on me to tell you. The first time the church was mentioned, Jesus was standing at a place called the gates of hell, and he said, I will build my church. The next time you hear about it, it's the day of Pentecost when it comes to life under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Peter preaches this message, and 3,000 souls became the first members of the Pentecostal church of the God of heaven that began to take this world over. Today is the church's birthday. We ought to celebrate it with everything we got and realize it is the anointing of God that has made the church what we are. Glory. What amazing things must have been happening. This meeting was far removed from the ordinary. It was noisy. They were no longer conservative about it. They weren't stuck in an upper room hiding. They came out and got in the streets. And notice this. They were lost to themselves and to the world. They weren't worried about they were going to pay the bills. They weren't worried about whether or not they were going to make it through the next day. All they were worried about was, I am submerged in the presence and the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost. And I understand now what the writer said when he said, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Because under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, they have felt a liberty they have never felt before. All the anxieties that had them hiding out. Come on, church, put yourself in these men's shoes. Ever since the crucifixion, they've been hiding because they didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus appears, and for 40 days they follow him. And suddenly he said, go. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem, you shall be endued with power on high. And all of a sudden that power hits, and they realize, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not scared of what's going to happen anymore. I'm not apprehensive about tomorrow anymore, because there's an anointing hit my life. I know what he meant when he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I've got that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, that peace that passes all understanding. And I've got a faith now that lets me know, no matter what happens, my God's going to be with me. I believe it's because of that Pentecostal power that every one of those guys died preaching the gospel. Glory. So if I get anointed, am I going to die? Yeah, but you'll die happy. Glory. You're going to die anyway. You might as well die happy. Come on. So y'all looking at me like, well, I ain't getting the Holy Ghost. I'm going to die. You're going to die. You ought to do it anointed. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I won't be so anointed. I'm like Elijah. And they throw me in the grave. Somebody actually gets buried in the same place. They come up. Whoa. Hey, something in that hole. Glory. Amen. Don't laugh. They are starting to bury people on top of other folks where they're running out of place. Glory. I got two grave spaces. If we work it right, we might get 4 or 5 people in them. I done told them they can dig deep as they want to. I'm coming out anyway. Glory. Smile. They called me other a few months ago, want me to trade with them. So we got another place in the back. We got somebody who wants to buy those two because they're buying the other two next to it. They want 4. Can we sell yours? I said, no, I picked them out because they're under the tree. I want the shade. Glory. Y'all see, preacher, you're crazy. I understand that. The people begin to ask questions of what was going on. Do you know when a real move of God happens, people are going to try to figure out what's going on. You may not believe this, but we have church folks that if God really starts moving, they're going, I wonder if that's God. Glory. Especially if it's somebody they don't like gets to shout, and they'll go, oh, I know that ain't God. Could it be they prayed through? Could it be you got your eyes off of God and you don't know what the move of God's all about? I know that there's wildfire. I'm not worried that much about wildfire. There's enough wet blankets to keep that down. Glory. I just want fire. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. Listen, Acts 2, verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to the other, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in his own tongue wherein we were born. If you read the next couple of verses, they're going to name about 15 different languages. And these guys are talking to them in their own language. Amen. Now, church, listen. I may not can speak other languages like some folks can, but I can communicate with anybody anywhere. Because if the anointing's there, God will take what you got and he'll touch them with it. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, I'm in Romania. I don't speak Romanian. I told a guy I loved him. I tried it in German, and I'm not real good at German, but he caught enough of it that he threw his arms around me and hugged me. He ended up in an altar that night. You know why? Because I told him I loved him. Not because I preached a great sermon and he heard every word I said. He felt the anointing of the love of God when I told him I loved him, and that's what put him in the altar. And we're living in a world right now. You're in the fourth largest mission field of the world. You need to learn to speak where you can talk on their level, and the anointing will touch their heart. Glory. Acts 2 and 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" It's sad, but we got folks in the church of God that going, "Oh, what is that? Hello?" We should count me one time. I love this guy to death. He's a good, close friend of mine. He was sitting there and he said, "I don't believe in all this falling down junk." I said, "That's for the birds." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." You got to understand, there was three of us sitting there. We were all on the inside row. It was me. Eddie Brand was up front. And Dwayne, I won't call his last name. He's not in this state anymore, so y'all wouldn't be able to call him anyway. But Dwayne was sitting there. He was not going to fall. He didn't believe in that falling. Floyd Lahan was a nice speaker. We was at Glory Hill. And we're sitting in them folding chairs back there. And you got to understand something. The worst thing you can do for Floyd Lahan, give him a wireless mic, especially when he ain't even got a hole in his hand. And he's around that crowd. He's all at the back of the tabernacle praying for people. And I'm standing there thinking, whoa. Because he's back there knocking. I mean, they folks falling everywhere. Hello? Now, if it's T.L. Lowry, he's knocking them everywhere. If it's Floyd, he just, they're falling. Glory. Y'all just got to have known them two fellas. Glory. And about that time, he walks up beside me, and I'm standing there, and he just kind of looks at me, and he looked at Dwayne. Dwayne's standing there with his back to him, and he went with his Bible. He started to walk, but he had a little problem. Because when he did that, Dwayne, all 5'8", 200 pounds, 200 or so pounds, took a flight. He didn't fall. He turned a flip. He turned a complete flip, throwed his hands out, and done a nice little poof right on the cement. And I'm like, "Ooh, you better hope God's in that." Glory. I remember after church, Eddie said, I looked down, and I went, "Don't see no blood yet." He said, but he face planted that cement when he hit. Glory. Because he landed right beside Eddie. I never forget when he started moving a little bit, we hefted him up in the chair, and he looked at me and he said, "What happened?" I said, "Floyd prayed for you." He said, "Huh?" He said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How'd I get in the floor?" I said, "It wasn't easy." I said, "Matter of fact, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for your socks, dude." He looked at me. He said, "You know, I'm not hurting no more. His back had been killing him." He said, "It seems to be okay." You know, I was over in revival with him in Georgia a few years later, and we were praying for folks that's falling out. And I said, "I'm sorry, I know you don't believe in this." He said, He said, "I got them falling all the time around here, but I got catchers." Glory. Amen. You see, sometimes you may not understand it, but when you find out it's real. Oh, come on, church. Smile. Some of y'all say, "Well, we don't get that stuff around here." I hope it does. If it's real, I don't want you falling, be falling, but if it's real, I want it coming. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. See, start asking questions. We had an evangelist was asking about Brownsville. He'd come up, he'd say, "You been down there?" "Yeah." "What do you think about it?" I said, "Man, I'll tell you, it's awesome." I can tell you this. I told my wife I'd to church at 2 o'clock in the morning, put her in the back of the van, went back in, got some more folks. We finally got everybody in the van, left coming home. By halfway home, some of them started waking up going, "Hey, where we at?" Glory. This evangelist was asking questions. Those of you who know about Brownsville, it went about, 5 years? And they had church every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. And you had to get there at 12 o'clock to be able to get into the building. We made the balcony, and we got there at 12:30. Glory. Amen. Had another building you could get into, and then they had a tent outside full of people. And after they pray for everybody in the building, they'd open the door and let the folks from outside in the other building come in. And this evangelist and his wife go down there, and they're not dressed like evangelists. They're white. They're in street clothes, and they're just walking around in there. All of a sudden, the pastor walks up to the evangelist's wife and says, "Come here, sister." And he kind of walks her out. And he said, "The Lord just told me to pray for you," and he prays for her, and she falls out. Well, he walks off. Oh boy, so he's sitting there looking at his wife, going, "That's pretty convincing. My wife ain't never fell out when I prayed for her." And he said, "And she ain't playing, she's out." He said, she did. He said, a few minutes, the evangelist come walking by and said, "Hey, come walk with me." He walks around through the crowd. Finally, he comes to a place where the pastor's standing, and they walk up beside him, and the pastor looked at him and said, "You seen enough?" He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Didn't you tell people you came to see if this was real?" He said, "Have you seen enough to know it's real?" He said, "Next thing I know, they're picking me up off the carpet because I done hit the floor." Come on, church. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Things will happen that are unusual when the Spirit gets to moving, but we say, "Hey, what meaneth this?" It is the power and the anointing of God. Come on, church. Others were mocking, saying, "These men are full of new wine." And the minute they did, Peter hit the street. "Hey, I tell you, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's just the third hour. We ain't had time to get drunk this morning." Amen. What we are anointed with the Holy Ghost. He said, "This is that." And he starts quoting Joel chapter 2, verse 28. He said, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. Upon thine handmaid and upon thine servant will I pour out of my spirit the prayer and supplication." He said, "That's what's going on." Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen. Notice what happened on Pentecost. The church was born. The people came together. The world as they knew it was turned upside down. I mean, they go to preach in another town. They said, "Those that have turned the world upside down have shown up here." Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's time alabaster got turned upside down. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's time we shook some lives up around here. It's time some of the folks in this church got their life flipped upside down. It's time some of you found out it's not going to be business as usual anymore. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that'll give us a whole new outlook on life and a whole new view of what's going on. And the only way that's going to happen is to have Pentecost again in the house of the Lord. Could you say amen? You know you're Pentecostal when the preacher ain't got a clue what time he started. Glory. Glory. And don't care either. Amen. Notice this. The congregation began to grow in number. I've been to church growth seminars, and they'll give you the 7 steps for church growth. Ain't but 1 step. You get the Holy Ghost moving, congregation will grow. Holy Ghost falls. They're out there speaking on the front. Next thing you know, crowd gathers. He don't have to pass out flyers. He ain't got them tacked all over town. Big meeting show up. We giving away money. They just started coming because something was happening. And Peter starts preaching, and 3,000 souls give their heart to God. Glory. Come on, church. Say, "Well, preacher, that's the only place you can find it." Not really. See, I see 3 Hebrew boys get stuck in a fire, and they get to having church in that fire, and suddenly the congregation grew. Because when the king looks in, he said, "There's 4 in there, because there's 1 like an under the Son of God done got in the midst of them." And when we get to having church and Pentecost gets to happening, God's going to be in the midst of us, and the power of God's going to start to move, and we're going to start to see the miraculous again in the house of the Lord. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Miracles started taking place, and it became commonplace in the church. I can remember when I came into church, folks prayed and believed God. Now we pray and we make preparations to live with what we're praying about. I got a headache. God help me. Y'all get any Tylenol? Just in case the prayer don't work, got Tylenol? Or as my mama said, tithing all. What are you getting at? We pray for financial breakthrough, and the whole time we're trying to cut a loan with somebody. Pray for healing, but we got 4 more doctors appointments, and we call another doctor because we need to make sure we get another lined up in case the healing don't take place. Come on, church. Smile at me. It's time we started believing the miraculous was real again. Listen, my God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same God that healed people before. Come on, church. That same God that used to heal people before is still on the throne waiting on us to get back to the place we wanted to have to happen. And when we get to that place, we've got nothing else to depend on but God. Isn't it sad we have to get to that point before we start believing God can do it again? I believe it's time we let God move and we begin to realize, just as the day of Pentecost, miracles can be something that happens every day in our life. Could you say amen? Woo. Listen, Jesus led these Christian notables to the steps of preparation for the outpouring of Pentecost. First of all, they went to the upper room of self-examination. At the Lord's Supper, he said, "One of y'all going to betray me?" And every one of them started examining. Is it me? Is it me? Every once in a while, you need to get by yourself and ask yourself, am I the one that could hinder the move of the Spirit by something in my life? Am I the one keeping God from doing things in my life? Come on, church. I got to tell you something. The only person that can hold you back is you. Smile. The Garden of Gethsemane, the place of submission. If we never submit ourselves to God, we're never going to see the move of God we want to see happen in our lives. And by submitting ourselves, we understand that it is not my agenda, but His agenda that matters. Come on, church. You might as well clap now. I'm going to be like David Wilkerson at the General Assembly of the Assemblies of God one time. He was preaching. He said, "Y'all might as well shout now. It gets harder as it goes along." Glory. They went to the judgment hall where guilt was judged. They went to Calvary where cleansing was experienced. Then they went to the place of resurrection where life was given to every promise Christ ever made. Hallelujah. Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? Without the resurrection, there wouldn't be anything going on in our lives." 40 days later, they go to Bethany, and suddenly Jesus breathes on them. Now, church, I understand we got breathing preachers that'll blow on you. Huh? I'm not knocking them, but I don't want nobody blowing on me. I don't want to know, is it His breath or the Holy Ghost? Glory. Because I've had some people pray for me, and them just talking to me, I like to fell out, and it wasn't God. Glory. Come on, church. Breathed on them. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" At Bethany, He is no longer in the flesh. He's a glorified spirit. He is already resurrected. He's already been back to the Father. He's no longer a fleshly man. And when He breathed on them, it was not the outbreathing of human air, but the actual transference of the power and the authority of His ministry. Just as God breathed life into the nostrils of man when He created him out of the mud in the Garden of Eden, Christ takes man again and said, "Now you're going to be recreated through the anointing of the new birth. You're going to be recreated through the saving power of the blood of Calvary. Now you need life again." And He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost, the life-giving power, the breath of God." You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, that's not what that means." That's exactly what that means. The Holy Ghost is the theonoustos, the breath of God. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Go tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Don't leave until you got that anointing." And I think it's time we in Pentecost said one of the greatest problems we got is Pentecostal churches becoming non-Pentecostal, and we need to get back to that place where we realize, "I didn't get here because I did this or that or the other. I'm here tonight because of an anointing of the Holy Ghost in my life." Could you say amen? Woo! Listen, church, I wasn't raised Pentecostal. My granny was Pentecostal all my life. Mamie, I'm sorry. Mamie was Pentecostal all my life. I don't want to get to heaven and get whooped. Glory. I didn't believe Pentecost. First Pentecost service I was ever in was the night I got saved. They scared me to death. I'm Pentecostal because I got hungry for something. I got so hungry, I started going to church every time I had opportunity to God fill me with the Holy Ghost. And in Cody, Alabama, a little old country hick town. I mean, ain't even a town, just a country hick hole on the side of the road. I go out there to this church in the middle of the country. Ain't nothing around. You got to go to the Belk community and turn the country. If you don't understand what that means, Belk ain't nowhere either. I went to nowhere and went to nowhere else. Glory. I'm out there at this church, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on me as I'm walking down the aisle. Amen. I went out there on a properties committee meeting one day, and they went in the back. They come back out there, and I was sitting in the pew, and the guy said, "What's up?" And I said, "Right here. I got filled with the Holy Ghost." Amen. "This is where God filled me with His anointing." And I said, "Y'all going to have your meeting. I'm going to stay out here a while." Amen. Glory. Come on, church. Smile. God filled me with the Holy Ghost that night, and suddenly I began to get hungry for his anointing and his presence. And I didn't come here because I was a fancy word preacher. I didn't get where I got because I was a fancy word preacher. I got where I was because I understood what Paul said. I didn't come in the enticing words of men's wisdom. I came with the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. And there's got to be a move. There's got to be a touch. It is not my ability to do anything. It is God's ability that touches lives and moves in them. And we've lost that in the church of God. And it's time we woke up and made up our mind, I'm not going anywhere else until we see something change in the house of God. I need the presence of his power in me. Why did the Holy Ghost come? Well, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Translated, Alabaster, Shelby County, Alabama, America, and the uttermost part of the world. Glory. Notice Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If you don't hear anything else, I'm going to tell you this morning, hear this. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is not on you for you. Ooh, I like to feel them doodads. Then you ain't got nothing. You just got emotions. Don't look at me with some of y'all's looks. It's about time we woke up and realized the Holy Ghost didn't come make you dance. It's no problem dancing. It's no problem shouting. It's no problem getting the doodads. But if all you do is dance and get doodads, you're wasting the anointing of the Spirit of God. Notice what he said. Jesus said, and he's quoting Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to reach others and to tell them about the gospel, to set the captive free, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to move those that are down, to let them know Jesus is coming. I almost feel like whistling. Glory. Might wake some of y'all up. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, you need to understand something. I'm fixing to really make some folks mad. You can text 250 people an hour. You can hit one button, send an email to a whole bunch of folks. But how many of them have you really touched? Because you have no real you in none of it. That's what's wrong with the church. We think, oh, we're just talking. No, you're not. You got to meet people and get up against them. And when you do, they see that anointing in you. They feel that love that is in you. It is the personal relationship you develop with people that's going to get them on an altar and make them find the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time some of us made up our mind. It's about me making contact with the world and letting them know the love of God. Come on, church. Kevin Wallace was talking about the other night that they did something in Mother's Day. They gave a pampering to some of the ladies, sent them to a nail salon. The lady runs a nail salon, Buddhist. She don't like Christianity at all. Those ladies go to the nail salon, and she does all of them's nails and works with them, and he gets an email. I now feel, through a contact of your ladies, that there's something to your God, and I will see you Sunday morning. Text messages don't confer that. The anointing moves through you, not your cell phone. Come on, church. We are becoming a vastly disconnected society, and we wonder why that the majority of the people in America no longer believe Christ exists, that 80-something percent of the people in our churches aren't sure he's really the only way. Come on, church. And I'm not quoting something. That comes from Barnard. He knows what he's talking about. He does these surveys. Do you realize that less than 16% of our populations really claim to be committed, born-again Christians? And out of that, most of them wonder, are they really committed to the right person? Amen. And we're sitting here trying to figure out what's going on. We can't win the world because we're disconnected from the world. But if we let that anointing that is in us flow out of us to those that are around us, those people we work with, those people we come in contact with, and we make ourselves available. We can be the light of the world. We can be the salt of the earth. We can make a difference in somebody's life. The whole idea of the Holy Ghost coming was that we would use it to set the captive free. Do you not realize that it is in Isaiah that he talks about the yoke coming off, and what's going to break the yoke? It is the anointing of God in us that breaks the yoke and sets the captive free. And we've got to have that anointing, and it's got to flow out of us to a lost and dying world. I gotta hurry. Watch still works. Lord. Somebody told me the other day, said, your watch is broke. I said, yeah, but I'm gonna keep using it. It's my favorite watch. It still backs up when I touch it. I'm gonna get me another band. Lord. But I'm gonna tote it till I do. Amen. Smile. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Christ wants to set us free through his power, through his anointing. That's what we're here for. The Holy Ghost was just for Pentecost. It's not for today. You ever heard that? You know, it's sad, but I heard a Church of God preacher make that statement. And we have guys teaching some of our seminars going, you don't need a move of the Holy Ghost. You can't grow a church with a move of the Holy Ghost. I said, really? He said, show me one church that's growing with a move of the Holy Ghost. I said, was it Outreach Church in Ooltewah, Tennessee? I don't know the exact name of it. That's close enough. Kevin Wallace is blowing up two different campuses. I like his idea of campus church. See, we got guys doing campus churches in Alabama now. They go start a campus church right in the back door of one of our other churches. Isn't it amazing? It's like BP putting stations across from each other and then trying to figure out why ain't neither one of them doing no business. Glory. He put a campus church in the middle of town where nobody else would go. Down there in the ghetto where the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the prostitutes are. And now he's filling that campus up. And just last week, he got an opportunity to buy the largest venue in that part of town, the third largest building for capacity in the entire city of Chattanooga. And it's right there in that ghetto. That's why the other company moved out. He's got a chance to move in. And he said, I'm not worried about filling the building up. All them other buildings will be ministry centers. We can reach out to all kind of people now. And it's going to work. And we're going to put that campus down there. And we're going to blow the doors off that place. He's excited about winning people nobody else wants. That's what it's all about, church. I don't know about y'all. I don't need people from another church. I need people from the world that are lost and undone without God to make their way to this altar and give their heart to God and turn their stuff on for God. Go find somebody else. Could you say amen? I mean, we got folks all the time talking about, oh yeah, so-and-so's having trouble. You might get some of their members. You're going to get their trouble. Just go on and find you some new folks. Smile. Said, well, preacher, you still ain't proved to me Pentecost for today. James chapter 5, and I'm going to close them. Wow. Ain't making no promises. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain. Y'all realize that in the Middle East it rains basically twice a year. You might get a little sprinkling once in a while, but most of the time they have two rainy seasons. One is right along now. It'll rain a little bit, and they'll get the ground wet, and they run out there and plant their crops. And then they shoot water on them as much as they can to keep them growing. And then on over to the other side, near the harvest season, it starts raining again. And all that stuff takes on new life. And all of a sudden, the buds start popping out, and the fruit's ready for harvest after the latter rain. Can I tell you, there was a former rain of the Holy Ghost started on the day of Pentecost, and you count it through history. For 100 or so years, the Spirit of God moved through the church. The church under the anointing was taking the world by storm, and then all things started going backwards. Now, you can read in history, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, that there were moves of the Holy Ghost all during the centuries in the Armenian friars and different times of the years when God would move, and it's documented in there. Tidings, one of the great reference works of the world, that there was a move of the Holy Ghost, but it kind of died out. The church wasn't seeking God anymore. They lost their hunger for God. And then all of a sudden, around the end of the 1800s, the Spirit of God began to come again. Folks began to get hungry for God. A little place out in California called Azusa Street got to seeking the face of God, and a revival broke out. Amen. A little old one-eyed preacher named Willie preaching that revival. One of the great preachers of his day turned and said, "Oh, it's just a fad. Ain't going to last long." I imagine when he died and went to heaven, he had to sit at the same table with old Willie Sizemore. And old Willie looking at him going, "Hey, it went on for about 15 years, and there's churches all over the world from it right now. It was a fad, all right, but it's a good one." Hallelujah. Amen. I see some folks in Camp Creek, North Carolina, dissatisfied with religion, and they get together in a little house in Shear Schoolhouse, and they pray, and there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God, and it bursts what we call the Church of God. I've been in Romania, and I sat in a little old house where a lady was praying for a garter on her face, and the Holy Ghost hit her, and on the windowsill, that garter was healed, and people working in the vineyard or the apple orchard saw what happened. A revival broke out, and over 70-something people got saved that night. Before it was over with, there were thousands brought to God. Today in Romania, even while they were under communist domination, there's over 100,000 Pentecostals moving in the power and the anointing of the Spirit. I'm telling you, the latter rain has been falling for a long time, and it's getting time for the harvest. Psalms 29, verse 8, "For the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to cast." We read the Bible sometimes, we go, what's that? Research it and find out. What's a hind? It's a type of animal, something similar to a deer. They don't exist anymore. But it's a strange little creature. The females would become impregnated, but they have a hard time getting in labor, so they couldn't have their children. And just as the rainy season would start, they would be foraging for food. And when the water and the rain and the thunderstorms or whatever would start happening, by fear they'd run back, and in running, they'd throw themselves into labor and have their children. And David, being a young man living in the wilderness, had seen it hundreds of times. And he said, "For he maketh the hinds to calf." He's the giver of life. Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" The church has been trying to birth children for a long time. We've been trying to do it with every kind of book you can think of. And it's time we realize there's only one way, one truth, one life. It is the anointing of God that's going to help us reach a lost and dying world. And for that reason, we need Pentecost. We need the fire of God in our soul. We need the Holy Ghost to come down and set us on fire again and give us a desire to tell the man next to me there is a God, to tell the lady next door there is a God, to tell the people in school there is a God who can change your life. This is that. But is that this? The early believers were seeking God not just for power, but for his anointing and his true grace. The early church were witnesses of Christ and the church. Is that this? Daily they added to the church those who were saved. Is that this? Miracles were prevalent in the church. You can start playing something, or I'll keep going. The early church, description of the service. The people came in, the praise went up, the Spirit came down, the saints went out, and the sinners came in. Is that this? I had a friend in a Methodist church that was Pentecostal. They kept moving him, but the problem I had, he'd get to a church and he'd stay there long enough, he'd infect them with the anointing and the pure Spirit of God, and he'd ruin it for their traditional preachers. They finally decided to leave him somewhere, and he stayed there until he retired. He was pastoring a Methodist church in the Tuscaloosa area. And one of our preachers was with me one day, and we were talking to him, and he just casually threw out this quotation, "Boy, we had church yesterday." And you know how we Pentecostal Church of God folks especially, we think we don't want to know how to have church. We need to learn some lessons. This guy leans over and he says, "If he just knew what church was." And Brother Hodo actually heard him. He looked up, he said, I'm serious. He said, we were having church. It was kind of normal. So they sung their songs and said, we were getting ready to take up the offering, and the lady come to the piano to play the offertory. That's a highfalutin word for playing while they're taking up the offering. I just thought I'd explain that to somebody. Glory. And she's just up there doing what she's supposed to be doing, but she's praying because she's been seeking the Holy Ghost. And while she's playing the piano, God decided, this is your time. He just poured the Holy Ghost out on her. He said, that woman lost it. Said, she got to playing like she ain't ever played before. And I look over there and said, she got her head back. She's speaking in tongues. And said, next thing you know, she left the piano. And some lady was running from the back. And he said, she was running because God hit her before she hit her with the Holy Ghost to go play the piano for her. And said, she left the piano. And that woman slid right in and went right on like nothing happened. He said, and this woman starts dancing in the aisle and shouting, falling around. Said, next thing you know, I got people just walking down the aisles with their hands raised, praising God. He said, we had 12 saved, 4 people got healed, had 6 more get the Holy Ghost. That church got preaching to me. He said, my Lord, they had church. Glory. Folks, are we so educated we don't need God anymore? We figured out all the methods of getting to people that we can't rely on the anointing of God to help us reach somebody. Are we so afraid of a real move of God that we don't want God to come down and just saturate the building when we have church? And see, when a real move of God happens, hypocrites ain't going to shout about it. They're going to hit an altar and repent. And there's going to come a time when we're going to have a move of God like we've never had before. And I know God moves around here, but we need more than we've ever had. Because this church needs to light up like it's never lit up. There's a world around us dying and going to hell, and they need to understand there's an answer, and it's right here. But if all we do is light up in the building, we've done nothing. The New Testament saints, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't stay in the upper room and shout and then go home talking about it. They went to the streets with it. They reached their brothers, their sisters. They laid hands on the sick, saw them recover. They went to jails and had breakout sessions. Because something was different. I believe God's getting ready for fresh Pentecost in America. I hear about revival in China and Africa and South America and Romania, and God's moving. And I shared this with you one night. God showed me something out of the simple story of Mary. When she found out she was pregnant, she found out she was fixing to give birth, she was fixing to have a revival in her family. And God said, I'm going to prove it to you, because while you're carrying that child, your old aunt who can't have children is going to have a child. While all these new places are seeing the move of God, God's ready to pour out his spirit in the old place. He's ready to give birth to something new where it's been dead and barren for so long. And I want to be in it, church. I want to be in that move of God. I want to be in that outpouring of the Spirit. And I want Pentecost. I want to see it happen like never before in this house, in this community, among your families. I didn't go to church because I saw a flyer. Matter of fact, I would have never gone to the Church of God in Buell. You couldn't have got me in that building for money. But Miss Anna praying, different ones, pointing at me when I'd go by and ask God to save me. And I stumbled into the church one night thinking I was going somewhere else. And God wrapped his arms around me and broke the bondage and set me free. God's still that kind of God, church. There are people in this community that's going to walk in this building saying, something drew me here. I don't know what it is. And they're going to find a witness altar, because God is still God, and he's still on the throne, and he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Stand with me. Father in heaven, I thank you today for your love. Father, would you move on us with your spirit, with your power, with your anointing. Holy, Holy Spirit of God, put a hunger in us for a fresh Pentecost, a fresh outpouring of your spirit, a fresh anointing of your love. Hallelujah.